1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 13 to 16. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Nature itself teach you, is the title of our Sunday school exhortation, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 13 to 16. Paul says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 11, judge in yourselves. Is it comely for a woman to pray unto God uncovered? He urged the Corinthian Christians to be willing to objectively judge for themselves by a rhetorical question that begs a negative answer. Is it proper for a woman to pray unto God with her head uncovered? No, it is not. It was a custom at that time for women entering into God's presence to be veiled. It was a mark of propriety and modesty for the women to be veiled. Therefore, he sought a right decorum to be observed in public worship. There is an order that is according to God's creative purpose for the woman and the man. When this order is observed, there is a God-given peace and harmony. And so this is an appeal for self-examination, that their God-given conscience may cause them to fear God and exercise self-restraint in the house of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Verse 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame to him? Long hair for men was not the norm in Greek or Jewish culture. And the commentator John Gill observed, he says, by nature is neither meant the law and light of nature, reason in men, common sense, or rather custom, which is second nature, and which in this case must be restrained to the Greeks and the Jews. For though among the Grecians, the men cut their hair and did not suffer to grow it long, as also did the Jews, yet there were many nations who did not, even at that time, observe such a rule or custom. But as the Jews and the Greeks were the persons chiefly, if not solely, known to Corinthians, the Apostle Paul signifies that the usage of these people might direct and inform them in this matter. And interestingly, Adam Clark also observed, he says, the Nazarite let their hair grow, but it was as a token of humiliation. And it is possible that Paul had this in view. There were consistently two reasons why the apostle should condemn this practice. Because it is a sign of humiliation, because it is womanish. After all, it is possible that Paul may refer to dressed, frizzed and curled hair, which shallow and effeminate men might have affected in that time, as they do in this. Here, nature, common sense, reason, they will inform you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. Then we look at our culture today. Like it, as it was in the Apostle Paul's time, it is not natural for a man to have long hair. So what is Paul saying? He's appealing for a dignified manner in which men ought to present themselves, whether in the world or in the church, that brings honor and glory, even in their, by their lifestyle, by their hairstyle, that would not bring shame to Christ. And so the Lord wants us to examine ourselves and see if we are coming before God in an appropriate manner. And here is the adorning of the hair. Well, it can be applied to many other in the way we would dress when we come to church. What would be a proper way by which we would dress ourselves in order that it befit coming before the presence of God. This was what Paul is saying to us. Verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Here we look at another commentator, MacArthur. He observed well when he said, men and women have distinct physiologies in many ways. One of them is in the process of hair growth on the head. Hair develops in three stages: the formation and growth, the resting and the fallout. The male hormone, testosterone, speeds up the cycle so that men reach the third stage earlier than women. The female hormone, estrogen, causes the cycle to remain in stage one for a longer time, causing the woman's hair to grow longer than the men. Women are rarely bald because few even reach stage three. This physiology is reflected in most cultures of the world, in the custom of women wearing longer hair than men. So he further explained. First, he looked at it from the way God created the man and the woman to be different, how even the growing of the hair is different. And then he further explained, a woman's hair is itself given to her for a covering. Her hair is her natural covering or her veil. And headgear is a cultural symbolic covering, both representing her subordinate role. Both nature and general custom reflect God's universal principle of man's role of authority and woman's role of subordination. The unique beauty of a woman is gloriously manifest in the distinctive femininity portrayed by her hair and her attendance to feminine customs, as in almost every age and every church. Some of the believers in Corinth were not satisfied with God's way and wanted to disregard it or modify it to suit themselves. Paul anticipated their objection to what he had just taught, and he knew that some would be inclined to be contentious, but he could not say nothing additional to them, or he could say nothing additional to them that it would be more convincing than what he had already said. Here is given to us what is church order, so that in the house of God there is a general order in which the people of God is able to approach God and focus on their worship of God, and not be distracted by those things that are happening around them. whether the dressing of the people, in the way they do their hair, the way they would adorn themselves. Verse 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, so now he come to the point. We have no such custom, neither the churches of God. When the Apostle Paul urges the Corinthian Christians to honor and adhere to the biblical principles of headship and subordination in the church between men and women, well, he is giving to us what is the order in which God has created. And he's not deviating. He is just reiterating what is the truth of God's word, so that when we follow, there would be blessing indeed in the individual families that are represented in the house of God. William MacDonald, he said here, Paul was not trying to frost a new behavioral pattern on the Corinthians, but simply to hold the line against self-indulgent individual excess in the name of freedom. As in the case of food offered to idols, Paul dealt with the immediate issue, but also put his finger on the root of the problem, the Corinthian pursuit of self-interest, which was unwilling to subordinate itself to the needs of others. So, you know, a group of people can come for a meal. One said, I want to order this, and the other said, I want that. And each one wanted that it should be like that. Well, Paul says, let there be not such disputes, but give honor, preferring one to another. Throwing off the head covering is an act of insubordination, which discredits God. Well, here, the Lord wants us to understand these basic principles of church order, so that His body, the people of God, will be strengthened, and that the focus of God's people will be upon Him and His honor and His glory. And when we would focus on the Lord and in the worship of Him, the Lord would indeed give us His peace, and there would be great joy in the body of God's people. May the Lord strengthen us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for granting to us once again the teaching out of Thy holy word. May Thou help us to reflect upon it, consider, meditate, and may Thou grant us Thy grace to follow Thee. For Thy own name's sake, hear our prayer. This I ask with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.